institutions on a very important day and a very important time. Throughout
Mike, you suck! 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 Mike, you suck!
Get the f*** off our campus!
Activists have chanted death to America and on our own streets in this country, and some public officials have refused to condemn them. Others have openly defended these acts on campus, and the harassing and the intimidation and the threatening of innocent Jewish students simply because of who they are. They've called that peaceful protest, and some have even gone as far as calling for the state of Israel to be eliminated. These are words we expect from Ayatollahs in Iran, not American lawmakers and not American students. And unsurprisingly, it has given way to threats and violence in a generation of students who feel safe in their own classrooms, who don't feel safe in their own classrooms, or where they live or where they worship. Let me say this very simply. No American of any color or creed should ever have to live under those kinds of threats. That is not who we are in this country. Sadly, Columbia's administrators have chosen to let the threats, the fear, and the intimidation of the mob rule to overtake American principles like free speech and the free exchange of ideas and the free exercise of religion. They have co-opted First Amendment arguments to protect genocide and to elevate the voices of anti-Semitism.
Shown solidarity with each other, with other colleges, with the Palestinian people, and that is something that the administration cannot take away from us. However, the administration keeps bluffing the students, keeps promising things that they do not get to achieve. And the way they've been treating us is as if we were strangers in our own campus, as if they hadn't been teaching us what we're applying here at this encampment. So I think people are feeling upset and frustrated at this university and at the state of this country, to be quite honest.
the primal scream of a dying regime.
Pray for our enemies, because we're going medieval on these people. Putin's not got a free shot. All these networks lying about the people. The people have had a belly full of it. I know you don't like hearing that. I know you try to do everything in the world to stop that, but you're not going to stop it. It's going to happen.
And where do people like that go to share the big lie? MAGA Media. I wish, in my soul, I wish that any of these people had a conscience.
Ask yourself, what is my task and what is my purpose? If that answer is to save my country, this country will be saved.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
It's Wednesday, 24 April, in the year of our Lord, 2024. I would like to, we get Ben Berquam's at Columbia. We're going to go there in a second. That great super cut right there by our own crack War Room production team. And of course, Real America's Voice in Denver. I want to thank everybody. As we warned you, this Sharia supremacist revolt is spread throughout virtually every major campus throughout the country. Had University of Texas, think he had UCLA. Of course, Harvard Yard taken over right there. But the and I said, this is a moment of clarity. You know, you had Polly Pockets Johnson up there for the donors. You don't see him at the courtroom with Trump. You don't see him on the southern border. Last time he went to the southern border, it's a bunch of lies. You don't see him in Midtown Manhattan, right? But there was a moment of truth, real truth, in that entire supercut. I would like to pull the young woman at Columbia, and let's hear her again and listen to what she is saying. Let's go ahead and roll it.
Encampment that has shown solidarity with each other, with other colleges, with the Palestinian people, and that is something that the administration cannot take away from us. However, the administration keeps bluffing the students, keeps promising things that they do not get to achieve. And the way they've been treating us is as if we were strangers in our own campus, as if they hadn't been teaching us what we're applying here at this encampment. So I think people are feeling upset and frustrated at this university and at the state of this country, to be quite honest.
She said it right there. All they're applying in the encampment, it's her words. And you can tell the sincerity and, quite frankly, the ingrained knowledge. She says, how can they be doing this? We're just, all we're doing in the encampment is manifesting what we're taught in the classrooms, which they teach us. Mike Cernovich today had, I think, a quite powerful tweet. He says, two sets of progressive communists going at each other. When one of them comes forward and says they're going to vote for Trump, then maybe he'll care. We have to have a very deep drill down on exactly what's going on here. We have Ben Berquam has put himself in harm's way at Columbia University. Ben, you were there for Speaker Johnson's talk to the students. Can you give us your assessment of that? It's quite hard to hear. Tell us what went on and what was the reaction from the Columbia faculty and students?
Well, Steve, yeah, it just ended just about a half an hour ago. We were here waiting, kind of a terrible setup, honestly. It was up on the steps of the library, squeezed in. Everyone was really jammed in. There was no amplified sound, so you really couldn't hear anything. Although we had our mics up there, so the audience could hear it. The students and, you know, anybody in the crowd couldn't really hear it. So immediately the chant started, "We can't hear you." I was actually shocked. My biggest takeaway from the thing, I was just shocked that it didn't end in violence. Nobody actually tried to rush the podium and chase him off based on some of the experiences I've had with some of the folks that are leading these movements across America. But at the same time, it's also not nighttime, and usually that's when the violence comes out. Here it was, you know, they shouted him down. They said, "Mike, you suck." They said they can't hear you. They did the "From the River to the Sea" whole chants and some of that. But otherwise, it was, what Mike said was actually pretty good. I wish I could have questioned him about wasting $60 billion on Ukraine, but, that wasn't the time. And so other than that, it was just kind of poorly set up, and I wish it would have had an amplified sound. But, the real question is, did it have any impact?
Yeah. You've got some students there from Columbia. Go ahead and let's do some interviews. Let's meet these students and get their thoughts.
Yeah, so that's the point, is it doesn't matter what I think. It's really what the guys here think. We've got Jonas, Daniel, and Ben, junior, and law school. So tell me, guys, you guys are here. First off, tell me what you thought about Speaker Johnson coming and the crowd. Do you think it had any impact at all in the student body, the faculty, or it's going to have an impact on campus?
I absolutely don't think that it's going to have any impact. And, you know, I think that what happened with the shouting down is pretty emblematic of what we've been seeing on campus, where they're shouting down the speaker by saying, we can't hear you, right? Nobody wants to talk to each other. And they're complaining that nobody wants to talk to each other because everybody's shouting at each other. So I think it's pretty ironic.
Jonas, Daniel?
I kind of agree. I don't think him coming had a big impact on the dialogue on campus, but it's still nice to see a prominent American, come here and see what's going on.
Ben? Best name in the group, by the way.
Ben? Indeed. Yes, Ben is a great name. No, I agree with what Jonas and Daniel said. You know, it's very hard currently to fix the massive dialogue problem that's going on at Columbia, but just him being here, showing support to Jewish students that are currently, you know, being called to be Al-Qassam's next targets, told to go back to Poland, go back to Europe. You know, we've just heard so many chants of Hamas, make us proud, burn Tel Aviv to the ground. It is so scary and vile, and, you know, having...
Red and black, blue and white, or red and black, green and white, we support Hamas's fight. I have a whole list. Yeah,
those are chants that are being done here on the campus.
Right on the campus.
On campus and immediately off campus.
It started to be solely off campus. It would be people being bussed in, coming in on the train, doing sort of more anti-Semitic chants, and then the stuff on campus was relatively calm. And then the university kind of lost control of the gates and the borders, and people started sneaking in, and then they also became, at the encampment, sort of more radical in their chants, and a lot of what they were saying just became sort of explicitly advocating for violence, which, you know, they usually use the word resistance for.
Also, it's worth noting, the baseline of the camps was still ethno-nationalist. Their favorite chant, this goes back, like, months, is Min la maya la maya fal, which translates to from the water to the water, from the river to the sea. It doesn't rhyme quite so well in Arabic. Palestine will be Arab, which is like blatantly ethno-nationalist. So like that was what we were dealing with first. And like now it's more like openly pro-Hamas stuff, especially the signs that they have around the encampment, like Hindus for Intifada, Jews for terrorism, for resistance. God forbid. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like Daniel, like Jonah said, it's just vile anti-Semitism that's going on. It's no longer microaggressions. You know, people always go around saying, oh, it's just a microaggression. Someone standing with a sign that says Al-Qassam's next targets. Al-Qassam is the military wing of Hamas. They kill people. They kill real people. Calling a student to be their next target, that's not a microaggression. You know, that is real hatred of a type of person, of Jewish people. That's no longer, you know, just... safe campus dialogue. It's terrible. It's anti-Semitism.
It's hatred from total strangers, too. I was called a slur off campus Monday by a guy who I'd never seen before and I'll probably never see again. It's just like, they see you and it's like something in their blood just boils. It's insanity.
Now, I'm gonna put Daniel on the spot here for a second because, and we were talking about this, Steve, this is what should be happening on college campuses. Daniel is actually, he claims to be a Democrat. We're going to work on him on that. He actually says he's going to vote for Joe Biden. But you look at what's going on here and this rise. We were talking about this Antifa, then merging into BLM and the extremism kind of growing. And now you see this movement. Does that change your mind at all? Or you're still, what is it that... do you see the Democrat Party playing into that, or liberal leftist thought on campus playing into what we're seeing here?
No, not at all. These people very much do not consider themselves Democrat. Their favorite chant is Genocide Joe. Like, I think that says a lot about their political opinions. Also, I think the Democratic Party is much, much more unified in terms of presenting a strong stance against America's enemies than the Republican Party is right now. And I would expect at least one major member of the squad to get primaried in the upcoming election cycle.
I hope they all do. But I do. I want to ask you one other question. Hang on, Steve. One other question.
Ben, go ahead, Steve. Hang on, we're running out of time. You stick right there. We're coming right back to you. Short commercial break. Hey, folks, if you watch War Room, you know we talk every day about the geopolitical and other forces driving the price of gold. There are actually a couple of reasons this is happening. Let me walk through them. The cost of goods continues to rise despite interest rate controls by the Fed. Since January 2021, cost of living is up 18%. The national debt continues to skyrocket, now significantly north of $34 trillion, causing many to worry when the House of Cards will come crashing down, and a presidential election year that will have massive implications on the future of this country. All this adds up to instability and uncertainty, and that is why so many Americans are turning to Birch Gold Group. Have you diversified your savings yet? Secure a portion of them with gold from Birch Gold Group. Secure a portion of your savings now with gold and do it from Birch Gold. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898 and get your free information kit. You'll learn how to convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and it doesn't cost you a penny out of your pocket. With an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and tens of thousands of happy customers, you can count on Birch Gold also. Just text Bannon to 989898 and claim your free info kit to protect your savings in a time of turbulence, instability, and uncertainty. Do it today. Take action, action, action. Birch Gold Group. Text Bannon at 989898.
Solidarity with each other, with other colleges, with the Palestinian people, and that is something that the administration cannot take away from us. However, the administration keeps bluffing the students, keeps promising things that they do not get to achieve. And the way they've been treating us is as if we were strangers in our own campus, as if they hadn't been teaching us what we're applying here at this encampment. So I think people are feeling upset and frustrated at this university and at the state of this country, to be quite honest.
So, Ben, can you ask our guys up there, right there, one of the young women at Columbia says, hey, we're just applying. What she's upset about is, why is the administration coming down on them when all they're applying is what they've learned in the classrooms? And you can see from the professors that look like they're virtually unanimous in their support of the rioters and protesters. Tell them, is this what they're learning? Because the woman says it. She says, hey, we're just applying what we're learning in the classroom, and that's why they're so upset about the administration trying to come down on them.
Yeah, and you asked that about the faculty turnout. I didn't see any faculty in favor of what was happening out here today. Question to you guys from Steve is, do you think that there's a woman that we just played the clip of who said, this is all faculty driven. This is what we're just applying what they've taught us how to act. What do you guys think of the faculty and their response? And in particular, when they came out and were supportive of this?
You know, I think we have to look at the curriculum at Columbia. We have the core curriculum, which is very famous. Sophomore year, you have to do a great books curriculum on political philosophy. And one of the things you read around this time of year are sort of the revolutionary texts like Marx and Fanon and so on. And it's very much, people feel like it's very much applicable to what they're trying to do. But what they're missing is that you're supposed to critically analyze these texts and discuss them rather than taking the truth for it, right? The class isn't teaching you that Marxism is correct. It's teaching you to critically think about it and engage with it. And what they've done here, and what a lot of the faculty have done, is weaponize the curriculum to then encourage students to, you know, carry out, you know, encampments and things like that that they see as a revolutionary sort of movement.
Ben, no, I'm just kidding. Daniel, go ahead.
I think a lot of faculty, well, if you look at early on in December, I think a study listed the number of, or the proportion of faculty who had like supported Hamas essentially in letters that they had signed. It's almost all in the humanities. There's very little of it in STEM. And also with regards to like Columbia's required texts and the political philosophy that you're required to read, I do agree. There's a lot of revolutionary thinkers there, and you're not encouraged to look critically at them. There's also a worrying French influence on the curriculum, which I think should be confronted more.
Ben?
Yeah, you know, well, I'm in the law school, and I think I'm not sure how closely our faculty is involved with what's going on. But, you know, just some of the faculty that I've seen in there is a bit crazy. Like, for example, Shalene Rodriguez was there a few days ago. She got fired from Hunter College for holding a machete to a reporter's neck, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, these aren't faculty that should be here or anywhere in Columbia University. And, you know, it's a disgrace. It's a disgrace.
Yeah, that's a low threshold, Steve.
Ben, ask them the question, what are their recommendations? We want to hear from them. If they were able to talk to the president of the university and say, hey, here's the two or three things I think need to be done immediately, what would they recommend? Ask each one.
So if you could speak to the president, you had their ear, what would your recommendations be? 1, 2, 3 recommendations.
To the president, wow. Of the university. Okay.
I would say,
you know, take decisive action. Figure it out what it is, what the rules are, and enforce the rules consistently. You can't have this like wishy-washy back and forth. Like one day you decide you're going to, you know, clear the encampment, and then the same day you allow another encampment to grow. It's just not consistent. It's not supporting student safety. And you know, this past week she's been silent while all of this anti-Semitism has been sort of raging ever since she appeared in front of Congress. And I just think that, you know, consistently enforcing the rules, sending support to Jewish students, but also affirming free speech rights, but not the right to occupy campus. I think all of that would have made the situation better.
I would say be a consequentialist. Look at what your goals are and then try to achieve those instead of just, it feels like kind of lashing out instinctively to try and get something done. I think when she brought the police onto campus last week, she played right into the protesters' hands. That's exactly what they wanted. They wanted attention, and they got arrested, and the next day the encampment was twice as big, and there were like 1,000 protesters outside campus. So just don't play into their hands. Don't give them what they want. What they want is attention, that's all.
I would say, President Shafiq, make us feel safe. Make us feel safe. Let us walk around Columbia University feeling safe. Telling Jews to go online and, you know, allowing everyone else to stay on campus is not, it's not how it should be done. This isn't Nazi Germany. This is New York City. This is America. We're one of the greatest institutions in all of America. You know, we're paying the same tuition as everyone else. We should be allowed to feel safe on this campus. Do what it takes, but don't put us in a situation where we are chased, where we're being called the K word for wearing a yarmulke, like some of my friends, you know, where people are calling to be killed. Make us feel safe. Do what you can. Make us feel safe.
Ben, also ask him, tell him, we paid a super cut where this is metastasizing all over the United States. What is their warning to the country about what they feel could happen? Because it looks like every college campus, University of Texas, UCLA, it's all starting to explode now. What is their warning to America?
So this is just one campus. We've got this happening. It's growing all over the country. How concerned are you about that? And, you know, we played that clip at the beginning of the show. What would your message be to other campuses when you start to see this build? What would your message be?
Well, I'm glad Columbia is setting the trend for once, although the wrong trend, in my opinion. I think my message would be to actually think critically about what you're engaging in, instead of just latching on to the latest social justice trend. Actually engage with what you're chanting. Actually ask yourself, is this anti-Semitic? Am I advocating for violence? And I think a lot of students here are simply here because they don't like the fact that the police were on campus, or, you know, they support, you know, maybe a ceasefire, but they've been sort of roped into also supporting the destruction of the state of Israel. So think critically about what it is, what kind of movement you're joining, what you're saying, and, you know, have principles.
My message to campuses across the country is honestly the same as my message to journalists. If you don't want this to happen, don't cover it. They want attention. The more attention you give them, the more emboldened they feel. If like the only reason this is happening at other campuses is because it made New York Times, New York Post, every major newspaper, it was on the front page. That's why they did it everywhere else, because they found something else that'll get them in the news.
Spoiled child syndrome?
Yeah, exactly. Don't give them what they want. Stop playing into their hands, even if it makes you feel good about yourself.
Ben? I would disagree with Daniel. I think it's important for this to be covered. It's important for America to see this, to see what's going on in our once great institutions. You know, my message is to campuses and to students in campuses is, like Jonah said, think critically. Think about what you're doing. No one wants a campus where students feel unsafe, where they feel intimidated, where they feel harassed. That is what is happening right now at Columbia University, at Yale, and at many other colleges and universities in America. Think about what you're doing and think about how that's affecting other people. We all have equal rights under the law. Make sure that people feel safe. Make sure that people don't feel threatened and are safe going to school and, you know, getting what they're paying for.
And I got to tell you, Ben, yeah, I got to tell you, Steve,
Ben, one last question. Ask them, what should the Israeli government IDF do with the Hamas brigades in southern Gaza and in Judea or Samaria? Ask all three for their opinion. What should they do with the prosecution of the war?
Last question is, what do you guys, and you can follow up with that, what do you guys think Israel should do with the Hamas brigades on the Gaza side and southern Israel?
This may be beyond the undergraduate student pay grade. But, you know, I think that what's missing from the conversation here is, you know, they're saying free Palestine. They're saying ceasefire, right? But there's never any talk about the hostages. There's never any talk about a long-term solution. You ask them, they say they support, you know, a one-state solution. They support, you know, erasing Israel and, you know, establishing something alternative. But they don't know what that alternative is. So I think, you know, my perspective would just be that we need to be having the conversation about sort of what is the end game for the war. And as Daniel was talking about before we went live, discussing what's a realistic solution and how we can have actual long-term peace without, you know, having unrealistic demands like, you know, death to Israel.
I think in terms of what Israel needs to do, the biggest thing Israel needs to do is decide what it wants to happen at the end of the war. Come up with a realistic goal, and then you can start moving towards it. That's all. Also, in terms of like being on campus, I don't believe in this rhetoric of fear. I don't think you should define yourself by what you're scared of, especially on campus as a Jewish student. I've had a lot of admitted students who are Jewish reach out to me and say, oh, do you feel safe? Is it safe for me to come to Columbia? Like, that's their goal. Their goal is to scare away Jewish students from the school. And if they succeed, then they've won. You just don't give your enemy what they want. Come up with a clear goal and move forward towards it in a realistic manner.
You're conservative. You just don't know it. Okay. Last one, Ben.
Well, in terms of what Israel needs to do, I think it's clear. Israel needs to eliminate Hamas. They need to bring the hostages home. Those are the priorities, and they need to do that in a way that, you know, harms the least amount of civilians.
Steve?
Okay. Ben, thank the guys. And Ben, where do we get your content? I know you're going to have a lot up later, but thanks the guys for doing this. And where do we go for your stuff?
You guys, huge thank you to you guys. Incredible. And I got to say, man, these guys are smarter than I am. That was an incredible conversation. We need more of this. Columbia is not all the way gone. Don't give up hope on all the universities. There's some good guys still out there. At Ben Berquam on all social media, frontlineamerica.com, americasvoice.news. I'll be here tomorrow morning, and then I'm actually going to be flying to Romania for an event. But stay tuned for the coverage. We'll be back at the courthouse with President Trump tomorrow.
Ben Berquam live at Columbia is spreading through all out the country, and I understand people. A lot of our audience members are not thrilled by some of the responses there. I still think the most powerful thing said was by that young woman. Here's the reality: they're learning that in the classrooms. She's just applying what they learn in the classrooms. You have the end of the progressive world order. You're seeing it now. It's spreading throughout the country. It's at the University of Texas. It's at UCLA. It's going to be at every major and, quite frankly, minor college, I think, in the next 48 to 72 hours. This thing continues to spread. These administrations, Columbia is already cratered. They've already canceled classes for the rest of the time. You have to understand these people are chanting death to America. And my question is, why are the ones there on student visas, or why are the ones there, they're illegal aliens that have come into this thing, why are they not rounded up and deported immediately? Why are they not deported immediately? And for Mike Johnson, I hope you're sticking around and going to be down there in front of the microphones in the court tomorrow. I hope you got President Trump's back, like you have the students at Columbia. I hope you're down there sitting in the front row when President Trump is persecuted again. And I hope you get on a plane and then go to the southern border and make another big, you know, broadcast on the southern border. Hey, you're not going to let anybody else in here. You're going to stop the invasion before you give one penny to Ukraine. Short commercial break. Back in the war room in just a moment.
Are you tired of progressive corporations and exhausted trying to keep up with all the virtue signaling when you're simply trying to buy products? Progressive corporate America continues to push messaging that further alienates conservative Americans, all while eroding the future of the American dream. It's prominent all over the country. Companies like Starbucks strong-arming their customers to support abortion. Financial services like PayPal canceling customers for their political views. Makeup companies like Maybelline making a mockery of women by supporting transgender models. And beer companies like Bud Light forcing gender ideology on you when all you want is to enjoy a cold beer. Thankfully, we don't have to fund these companies any longer with our hard-earned dollars. With Public Square, we now have a solution. It's simple. Join the movement of millions of patriotic Americans who love truth, our country, and our Constitution at publicsq.com. That's publicsq.com. Public Square is an app and website where you can get connected to tens of thousands of businesses from all different industries that share your value for life, family, and freedom. Whether you're looking to buy coffee, find a new athletic clothing that knows what a woman is, and shop for clean skincare, or simply find a new restaurant in your community that won't lecture you about your political views, publicsq.com is your resource. Public Square also offers discounts to many high-quality businesses on the platform so that you can actually receive incentive for spending money with companies that don't hate you. Public Square is free to join as consumer or a business owner, and you can get started today at publicsq.com. Remember, either as a consumer or a business owner. Download the app now. That's publicsq.com, publicsq.com.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
You haven't seen anything of the turbulence yet. I think they've called out. I think they've got the police on the horses down at University of Is it the University of Texas or University of Tennessee? We'll find out. But this is spreading all over the country, as we told you it would, because you have a Sharia supremacist uprising bolstered. It's the red-green merger. We've talked about this for years. And now it's turned against one of the most parts of the progressive part of the country. So you've got, you know, this is total mayhem. But the symptoms in the commons, the problems in the faculty senate and in the administration, that's where the purge needs to be. And MSNBC and everybody went crazy the other day when I said they got to purge all the progressive professors. Yes, they have to purge all the progressive professors. They're the ones that are injecting this bacillus. The girl said it herself. The young woman said it. She lays it right out. She says, we're angry at the administration. We're angry at the professors because this is what we learn in the classroom. This is what they teach us. And they don't understand what they're being taught. They're applying it, and they're sitting there going, well, hold it. Why are you coming down on us? And you saw the other day with the professors to a person. Now, I realize the students there, I think, make a pretty good case about, hey, a lot of this is coming from humanities, but humanities is the central part of Columbia College, the college part of it. The great books program, it said they teach the revolutionary thinkers in the second year, and particularly the spring of the second year, but they're supposed to be critical thinking, and they said it right there. The professors just say, go out, this is the revolutionary thinking, just go out and do it. You're seeing the end of the progressive world order, and if you don't think we've got turbulence, there's going to be a lot more turbulence. Think about what the Democratic convention is going to be like in Chicago. Of course, they're going to turn out and turn on Trump, too. And how many Trump supporters do you think there are at Columbia? How many? So the question, this is what Cernovich is saying. Cernovich is saying, show me why I should be interested. I think Cernovich speaks for a lot of people. Tell me why I should care here. I got two sets of communists going after each other. So the question's got to be answered. Also, for the big Jewish donors, said they're going to cut off Columbia. I got that. You're going to cut off Columbia. But what are you going to put the money to get the word out that Sharia supremacism is the problem? And you see what's happening in Israel. And quite frankly, the young guys there didn't really have great responses about what the IDF should do in the Israeli government. That's between a rock and a hard place. And just listen to the chants. They're not shy about, they want the end of Israel. They want the death of all the Jews. This is beyond anti-Semitism. It's all over. But who's standing up and saying, hey, that's the problem? You don't see the faculty doing it. You don't see the administration doing it. They're nurturing along. And now it's at every campus in the United States. And don't think Southern campus is going to get away with it, or Western campuses. It's everywhere. The great University of Texas at UCLA is going to spread everywhere. And these images we got are very violent. Jane, your thoughts on this? I got a lot to go through with you today, but start with your thoughts on this revolt on college campuses.
Well, you're exactly right, Steve. And the thing is, young people are just following the marching orders of the administration, of the teachers. I know because I lived it. I went to high school on George Washington University's campus during 2016. I witnessed as kids walked out of the classroom for climate change, walked out of the classroom for the Women's March, walked out of the classroom in protest when Trump was declared victor, and it is absolutely outrageous. Our higher education institutions have become indoctrination centers. It is communism 101 all day, every day. And every Jewish donor, every Jewish parent should be outraged. But further than outrage, they need to stop funding them, stop paying tuition, stop donating to the school. This is why we're seeing that our higher education institutions, they aren't trusted anymore. You know, I'm here to talk about the Harvard Youth Poll. It shows that our institutions are at an all-time low for trust. It shows that young people do not believe that these are places to get an education, but it's rather a place to fear for their lives in some cases, fear that their opinions are going to cause them to be physically harmed, and they are afraid to speak up.
Jane Zirkel started working as an intern for Rudy's because Rudy's a lawyer. You almost had to have police protection in your high school on GW campus. You were being attacked because you supported President Trump, had a sign supporting President Trump, and I think wore a MAGA hat, correct? Or you wore a red hat. That was your violations, and they wanted to physically beat you up. They wanted to beat you up. They wanted to physically harm you for standing up for President Trump. Am I correct in that?
Yes, that is correct. And in a way, you know, people always say things happen for a reason. And I always have to say, had that not happened, I wouldn't be sitting with you here today. So it's all part of God's plan. But this definitely hits home for me big time. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to feel like when you can't speak up for yourself. And as you saw in those interviews, those young men, the more and more they talked and more they looked to their left and right and saw, hey, there's people who have common sense just like me. They became more and more emboldened. And that's what on college campuses they are trying to squash. It's all fear tactics. It's why a third of college students feel like they cannot express their opinion on college campuses currently. And the ones who do are overwhelmingly far left Democrat.
Okay, hang on for a second, Jamie. We'll come back to you. By the way, we got the fifth installment of The End of the Dollar Empire about loss of economic freedom. You see the loss of free speech on these campuses? Go to birchgold.com/Bannon. Get The End of the Dollar Empire. The fifth free installment's there right now about central bank digital currency, the buying of gold, the end of Bretton Woods, all of it. Want to get you totally up to speed. I'm trying to break it down on maybe Friday, Saturday show. So much going on. Let's go to Tiffany Justice. Tiffany, to show you what the administrative state and the Biden regime thinks of women and thinks of our American citizens. Walk me through another outrage regarding Title IX. Title IX, what do you got for us, ma'am?
Yes, the Biden administration just they had proposed changes to Title IX, and now they have issued those changes that will go into effect on August 1st. And, you know, in 1972, Congress passed Title IX. They enacted Title IX to ensure equal opportunity for all students, regardless of sex. And so I know a lot of people understand Title IX when it comes to the sports issue. You're concerned about that. You see, we have a Twitter space tonight. It's at 9 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. And so we're going to talk about that with Kim Herman from Southeastern Legal Foundation and Sarah Perry from Heritage Foundation. And I say there, it erases women and girls, ignores the Constitution, eliminates due process, compels speech, and strips parents of their fundamental rights. What's very important for people to understand is a lot of the things that you've been seeing that I've come on your show and talked about, the things that are happening in Washington State, in Oregon, in California, where you have children being taught that they could be a boy today or a girl or maybe a tree, or you have private conversations happening behind the backs of parents about sexual orientation and gender identity with students. All of those things will be allowed now with the weight of the federal government. Steve, these Title IX regulations are going to supersede all state laws, all the hard work we've done to protect parental rights around the country.
Hold it, hang on. Give me this again, because Title IX came in. It was very positive for women's sports. All of a sudden, you had little girls playing team sports all over. Really changed, I think, to a large extent, the direction America made little girls more competitive, more, you know, knew about teamwork, et cetera. So it had very positive. They've taken Title IX now, and what have they specifically added to this that would supersede all the fights we've had at the state level?
They've expanded the interpretation of sex to include sex stereotypes, sex characteristics, sexual orientation, and gender identity. And it is, in doing so, they have erased decades of progress while eroding parental rights and due process. So it really, Steve, you know, before we have biological truth, there are men and there are women. Now in the schools, gender identity will be a protected class, sexual orientation. So this means boys on your girls' sports teams. This means boys in girls' bathrooms. And as I said before, this means that if the school, the government school, thinks that you will not affirm your child's wish to change their gender, they now have a law that in effect will protect them and will give them the opportunity to engage with your child in discussions and put them on a social transition plan in school. And they have the right to keep that from you if they consider you to be a harm. And being religious, being known to be a devout Catholic, for example, could be considered, and in some places has already been considered, harmful to your child because you will not change their gender as they wish. So very important for people to understand that this is changing the culture. These new regulations will completely change what it means to be a parent and the protections that we have as parents to direct the upbringing of our kids.
So how could they just do this by saying we're going to change? Title IX was passed. They've got regulations that are approved. How could they just, by fiat, change this? Doesn't Congress have a sign-off here? I mean, is this all of a sudden become the law of the land?
This is the law of the land. This is, in effect, a law that supersedes state law. Congress could come in here and speak to this issue. There are members of Congress could come out right now and say, we want to define sex as being men and women, and we're not including gender identity or sexual orientation. And they have the ability to do that. Two-thirds of either the House or the Senate could come and strike this rule down. Now, President Biden won't care about that. But I think we need to get him on the record, right? I want Peter Doocy or somebody who's interviewing President Biden to say, what is a woman, President Biden? Do you understand this is going to mean that little girls are going to have their places taken on sports teams? Do you understand that this is going to mean that parents are not going to have the right to direct the upbringing of their children, and that secrets are being kept from parents, that CPS, Child Protective Services, could be sicked on parents who are not willing to go along with this? And again, Steve, we've seen this happen. I think I spoke on your show about a woman named Abigail Martinez. Her daughter, Yaley, was put into a social gender transition program at the age of 15 in California. She took her life. While the government thought that they knew better for Yaley and told her mom, Abigail, that she needed to not talk about God with her child, that her child could not live in the home with her because she wouldn't affirm the gender change, the government stepped in and did this. They drove a wedge between the parent and the child. And so while Title IX is being sold, I say don't buy the left's line on Title IX. It's being sold as protections for LGBTQ students. We need to be talking about ABCs and 1-2-3s in school, not ideologies. We need to get back to the basics in American education. And we need to know that parents are the number one driver of student success at anything, including this new rule, which will drive parents away from their children, is unacceptable in America.
9 p.m. tonight, you're going to have a Twitter space with Carrie Sheffield of Heritage. And who else is going to be on there?
It's Sarah Parshall Perry from Heritage Foundation and Kim Herman from Southeastern Legal Foundation. And Sarah worked in the Trump administration in the Department of Education, and she's an attorney. Kim is an attorney as well. And so we're going to answer questions. We're going to talk about the history of Title IX, what Obama tried to do in 2015, what President Trump did when he stepped in and rescinded what President Biden tried to President Obama tried to do with Title IX. And then we're going to bring everyone up to speed now and let people know what to expect. We'll do a couple calls to action. There are things that you can do. You can be emailing your legislator, calling your legislator's office, and telling them that you want them to vote down these new rules. And we need to mobilize on the ground level. Steve, we just sent a letter to Governor Cox and to the National Governors Association and to a number of attorney generals around the country offering our support. We are here at Moms for Liberty to help governors, state superintendents to stand up against these rules. And Cade Brumley of Louisiana, Alan Weaver of South Carolina, these are state superintendents that are already giving guidance to teachers saying, no, 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 we are not changing what we are doing in our state right now. You will wait to hear from me before you enact any new changes regarding how boys and girls are treated in our schools.
Okay, Grace and Mo will put up this tonight. We'll stream it tonight. Where do people go for information about Moms for Liberty and your fight here?
Yeah, go to momsforliberty.org, click on the map, see if you have a chapter near you or start a chapter. Here's why this is important. Moms for Liberty is bringing people together. We're unifying people across the country, and it is going to take all of us. We are going to need to work together to have a loud voice to demand change when it comes to this rule and all of the other freedoms and liberties that are being taken by our government. It is time to put the American federal government back in its box.
Tiffany, thank you very much. Short commercial break. Jane Zirkle on the other side. Tax Network USA is pure war room for solving your IRS tax problems. If you owe back taxes, COVID was your lucky break. Tax court shut down, the IRS paused, and you skated. Well, baby, that party is over. The IRS is adding 20,000 enforcement agents, basically tax cops. Honest, hardworking Americans like you are in the crosshairs. Rich people have tax lawyers and you don't. You'll pay up plus interest and penalties. Tax USA Network has brilliant war room type strategies designed to solve your IRS problem quickly in your favor. Never call the IRS yourself. You're at their mercy. You could sit on hold for 6 to 8 hours and get hung up on. Grind you for all your back taxes plus interest and penalties. Tax Network USA attorneys have a preferred direct line to the IRS. They know which agents to talk to and who to avoid. If they get difficult agent, hey, they just call a different agent. Tax Network USA learned of a limited time special IRS offer. The IRS is willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. Find out if you qualify before it's too late. Schedule your free confidential consultation with Tax Network USA. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. Think about that. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. They offer a best-in-class client satisfaction guarantee. Now call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000. And visit Tax Network USA. That's TNUSA.com/Bannon. TNUSA.com/Bannon. Make sure you take action on this today. This IRS grind is only going to get much worse.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, we couldn't do this show without a great team under the leadership of Parker Sieg in Denver, Colorado. And one of the key members of that is Trey. He's leaving us after a couple of years, going to try his hand in some other things. And we wish him the best and couldn't do it without the great team in Denver. One of our key members today, but I don't think you'll notice any quality change because the team right there has come together. We got training up some new people. But Trey, thank you for the effort. And the guys in Denver, I'm on them yelling and screaming all the time, but they know it's all for the common good. So thanks, guys. And of course, our crack team here in the Warren production. It's a fantastic team. Jane Zirkel knows that. She's been there. She's been there behind the scenes. Jane, talk to me about Title IX, your thoughts of what Tiffany Justice just said.
Yeah, well, this goes hand in hand with the data from the Harvard Youth Poll, where we see that margin tightening once again with President Trump. 45% to President Trump's now 37%. We are in single digits now. If you compare that to 2020, from Biden's 51% to President Trump's 28%. Huge strides for him. But I really want to stress that it is the young men in the 18 to 29-year-old age category that are driving this, because while there is only a lead by 6 percentage points towards Biden, there is a lead by 33 percentage points towards Biden amongst young women. And that goes hand in hand, unfortunately, with the trend we've seen with young women increasingly voting for Democrats, increasingly leaning towards the left, versus young men are staying relatively the same on the conservative front. But the issue is, women, when they are voting for Biden, they are quite literally voting for their elimination. What he did just a few days ago with Title IX is absolutely disgusting, implementing this gender identity garbage into once was a great protection for women's sports. It's absolutely outrageous. And very similarly to how Jewish people could possibly support Joe Biden, it's a really big question as to how women could support Joe Biden in the wake of this.
Jane, where do people get to you on Instagram and all your social media? Where do they go?
You can find me at Jane Zirkel on Twitter, Getter, Instagram, and YouTube.
Jane, thank you. Thank you for hanging around. Thank you for doing us today live from our Palm Beach studios, Real America's Voice. Times of turbulence. Turbulence is only going to get worse. This is why we do the macro, but I think it's very important for you, particularly given Jim Rickards today, what he had to say, and some other reports out about where gold's going to and where it's driving towards. So go to Birch Gold Group. One of the things we do with sponsors, we make them commit to give access to their senior people. That's one of the reasons we're fortunate enough to have Lindell on all the time. But go to Birch Gold Group /Bannon. You get the end of the dollar empire, but you also get access to Philip Patrick and the entire team. Put the questions to them. Ask them. Immerse yourself in the information. Of course, also what we're trying to do is build the alternative economy. That's where we're always pushing MyPillow and the other sponsors we have. One of the great ones is Public Square. Michael Seifert was in Silicon Valley, left Silicon Valley because he thought he could build a marketplace to have companies that don't hate your values, don't hate what you stand for. You see what's happening in these college campuses? You don't support that, okay? You don't need to keep giving money to companies that do support that. What you do is go to publicsquare.com. They've got the name now. It's not Public SQ, publicsquare.com. Go check it out today and make sure that you get access either on their app or their website to the tens of thousands of companies that support your value, support your values and have great products and services. PublicSquare.com, Michael Seifert and the team. Our 6 o'clock show is going to be on fire. One of the things we're going to start doing is profiling people in the precinct strategy that have had to fight and are now getting real traction. We're going to go to Illinois here in a moment. You're going to see, I keep saying, and Mike Lindell's telling us all the time, Illinois is a red state, just trying to bust out. Mike Lindell, what do you got for us, brother?
Well, I'm just reading a little bit about me here, Steve, in the news again. I want to tell everybody that tonight on my show on Lindell TV, we are going to kind of go backtrack the last 3 years and show everybody where we're at right now. You know, there's setbacks out there, sure, but we just keep going ahead and trudging ahead, and we're getting through. And you can also check out LindellPlan.com, everybody, to find out everything we're doing. And you're right, Steve, we're and even states like Illinois, because we're going to leave no county behind. And this is all, I really give the War Room Posse and a lot of credit for everything here, because it was a big distraction when they attacked my pillow for the last 9 months that has been under attack. And great news, we're at full capacity. I'll tell you, the spirits are up, Steve. Everybody, and my employees and I, we wanted to give back to the War Room Posse. So we still have these, they're called the Revival Pillows. These are the American flag pillows. You're going to get one free with every single order. It's a roll and go anywhere pillow. Hang on.
It's a 5-star. It's got an American flag on there with a 5-star American star, not this 8-star Islamic star that you've seen ever, including on the new flag they're trying to get for the great state of Minnesota. I'd love the original flag. I don't even know why they're considering this.
Great. That's disgusting what they're doing. Very disgusting, and I'll tell you, we like our real president says, he loves our flag. We love our flag. So here you get the My Pillow, the flag, the Go Anywhere My Pillow for free with any order. Use that promo code War Room, you guys. Go there, see, go down to the square where you see Steve there, and click on that. And the best specials in the country are right there. We've got what you guys have all been getting, about 50% of you have been taking advantage of that $25 for any king or queen size My Pillow or the My Pillow 2.0, buy one, get one free. Remember, and then also you've got those sandals for $9.50, everybody. Get a pair of them, get the $30 My Pillow free. You can't go wrong. This is the biggest specials we've ever had, and it's a gift back for my employees to all of you. Remember, they attacked my employee-owned company. They canceled us everywhere, but we were able to get through all that with flying colors. Call 800-873-1062. These my employees. They can't wait to talk to you and give you that free roll and go pillow, the American flag, and it's functional. It's the best pillow you're ever going to sleep on. And so, Steve, we want to thank you guys so much.
6 o'clock. We got another hour to go. It's going to be incredible. Want everybody to stick around. Then at Lou Dobbs's after that, you've got Mike Lindell's going to come up at 8 o'clock. You've got the Twitter space at 9, and we'll stream that everywhere. So we got a lot going on. Mike, thank you so much. The 6 o'clock hour. Here's what I want to do. I want to talk about some success stories, but also success stories that take, commitment. Also, Raheem's got a new piece up in National Pulse. What the F is Mike Johnson doing? Raheem Kassam, we'll push it all out. We'll see you back here in about three minutes for the second hour of the War Room. Back in a moment. Right now, millions of Americans face prescription medication shortages. The FDA's medication shortage list currently has over 120 prescription medications listed. Some patients are being forced into more expensive substitutes, while others are rationing what little medication they have left. Don't get caught unprepared. That's why I want you to pick up a Jace case today. The Jace case is a pack of essential antibiotics that can treat a long list of common bacterial illnesses, including UTIs, respiratory and skin infections, plus much more. And each case can be customized for your specific needs with dozens of add-on options. Just fill out a simple online form and Jace handles the rest. From the online evaluation to licensed pharmacy delivery and ongoing care. Visit jacemedical.com and use code Bannon at checkout for an extra discount. That's promo code Bannon at Jace, J-A-S-E, jacemedical.com. Get the Jace case and get it today. Action, action, action. War Room at checkout to save 67%. Do it again. War Room Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. You need, if you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.